We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
B-Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Training camp, day one, conditioning tests. We're all waiting to find out what's up with Landon Collins. Will there be any other surprises? We'll find that out. Ron Rivera is set to speak to the media at 3:30. I'll be there. And then at 5 p.m., Ron Rivera is going to join Grant and Danny. Boys will get to ask him all sorts of questions. Make sure you listen to that. We got a bunch of phone calls. We're going to get to them all on the Gambit DC listener line. But, B-Mitch, I got some news for you.
What you got?
Legit, great news.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Ovechkin just announced on Twitter that he is back with the Washington Capitals.
That is fantastic news for them. Whole D.C. metropolitan.
It really is. And I don't know if you've seen it. His post is awesome. It's just a picture of him holding the cup at the parade with
smiling
hundreds of thousands of people.
Smiling toothless?
No, it's from the back, and it's just says, I'm back, D.C. And then there's a picture of him. I believe that's his son and his wife and his parents holding the contract. So everybody said it was nothing to worry about, but it's always better when it's official.
Yep. I agree with you.
Okay. Let's hit the phone lines. How hype are you for football, training camp, Richmond, all of it? Let's start with Kyle and Shadyside. Kyle, what's up, dude? You're on with B-Mitch and Finley.
How's it going, fellas?
How you doing, man?
Great, dude. I'm outrageously, ridiculously pumped because last year you had to look forward to wondering, you know, maybe is Dwayne Haskins ever going to be a good football player? Will Alex ever... You know, will he ever play football again? Is Logan Thomas any good at tight end instead of just being a backup QB? It's just a lot of down things. Now you got number one corner coming in. You got the rookie, the defensive rookie of the year coming in, Jamin Davis. You got Curtis Samuel. He's going to be tearing everything up next to Terry, so you don't have the Sims brothers who are going to be dropping passes and running at the speed to smell it. Wide receiver number two. Logan Thomas is locked up. You got one of our best leaders locked up. And Jonathan Allen, and I know people maybe argue that De'Ron Payne is, should also get paid or deserves to get paid more. But honestly, he's a run stopper. People go through around Jonathan Allen when they're trying to stop the run. Jonathan Allen's a leader. They don't need to just hope that Chase Young can lead this team. He can go right behind them. I think their defensive line's the best in football. I think people are sleeping on Bobby McCain coming from Miami. He's going to be a starting free safety. We already got a great safety, and we already have a former Pro Bowl safety who's not even playing yet, and our safety position is set. Kendall Fuller's a beast. Gibson's going to be probably a 1,000-yard rusher, maybe have 500 receiving yards and a bunch of touchdowns. I am super pumped. I think John Bates is going to do good. Everything is great. Ron Rivera is the man of the year. Everyone's happy. I'm happy. I love it. I'm hyped. Woo!
I think you are hyped. Thank you for the call. Brian, I think we might have found the most optimistic man in the DMV.
Yes,
right
indeed,
there.
Boy. That was a lot of record-breaking things going on this year.
That was the real deal. Let's go to our guy Will in Fairfax. Will, what's up, man? You're on with B-Mitch and Finley.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good, dude.
Hey, two things real quick. One, we can't bang on them for signing their guys 3 days after I hear you guys say that we'd never re-sign our guys. They identified a leader in Jonathan Allen. They re-signed him.
We were talking about baseball, dude. We weren't talking about football. So keep the stories together.
Okay. But if we're going to identify De'Ron Payne as a slightly better player, then they absolutely made the right move. You're not going to re-sign both Allen and Payne. You can't tie up $40 million for two defensive linemen. By signing the guy cheaper now, and Jonathan Allen, you leave that room open to maybe sign Ioannidis to recontract him or to bring back Tim Settle. in a year when they come up. You can't keep both. You had to keep one. Jonathan Allen's going to be the cheaper option because you're getting to re-sign him now, as opposed to Daron Payne. He's not going to sign an extension with 2 years left on his rookie deal. So I think they made the right decision, and they use themselves a little bit of extra money maybe to bring one of those other two guys back.
Okay. Good point. Thank you, Will. It's a fair
Sounds
point.
Sounds good. I mean, listen, like I said, I'm paid to give you my opinions on stuff, and I'm going to do that. I don't know if they did the right thing or not, but they signed who they wanted to sign. I'm not knocking nobody making their money, but ultimately, we will find out if they made the right decision.
We sure will, and you know what? We're going to find out sooner than it was yesterday because football is coming. Let's go to our guy, William in Purcellville. William, what's up, dude? You're on with Beamish and Finley.
Hey, 2021-2022 NFC repeat champ. Let's go! Get them vaccines, boy. But I wanted to talk to B-Mitch about the Jonathan Allen signing.
Mm-hmm.
I think you said that there's going to be – I want to ask you, do you think there's higher expectations? Do you want to see higher expectations for him? Because personally, I think what he's doing is great. I mean, sacks maybe need to go up, but what he does is push the pocket out and makes the quarterback go choose one side or the other, and that's when the edge rushers come in and get their sacks. But I think he does a great job getting that pressure up the middle, and it's like JP said, the money, $18 million, I think is a little cheaper than that. You can either choose Jonathan Allen or Daron Payne, but I think I mean, you can't go wrong either way, but I guess, like you said, B-Mitch will see. But I don't think he needs to show up this year and have 10 sacks, 11 sacks, 12 sacks. I think what he has been doing as the rock for our team and leader in the locker room is great, and he needs to keep doing what he's doing. But what's your feedback on that?
Do I expect them to do more next year? Yes. Will I want more? See, this is the thing that a lot of you all – You're blinded by stuff. When teams wanted to run the football last year, they ran it at will. Did they not? Okay, so I keep hearing everybody talking about how great he is against the run. Well, that was where the defense lacked at, against the run. They were damn good against the pass. They lacked against the run. So, listen, I'm just putting out stuff. I'm not trying to say he didn't deserve his money, but when you're going to speak about things, let's be honest. When Seattle wanted to run, they ran the ball 10 straight damn times for 80-something yards. He was on the field. Okay? So then you got Tampa came up in here. They put 500 yards against us, but we still said we were in that game. Our best part of our defense, of our team, is defense. And they ran at will, and they ran up and down the field throwing it at will.
Last five games of the season, they gave up at least 100 yards rushing in every game.
But that's what I'm trying to see.
Against Tampa, they gave up 140 on the
ground. A lot of fans, you fans, just what you are, you see one side. I love the team. I love the players. But my job is to tell you the truth. And that's what I'm going to do, whether you like it or not.
Well, and
so
to that,
when he say he want to talk to me, make sure you know I know what the hell I'm talking about.
Against the pass, the Washington football team's defense last season ranked second in yards allowed.
Yes.
Against the run, they were 13th in yards allowed. Now, B, I'll say this. I think if Jamin Davis is the player that Ron Rivera expects him to be and Jack Del Rio expects him to be and Fred Smoot believes he can be, I think that John Allen, Daron Payne, all those guys, Settle, Ioannidis, everybody will look so much better.
But see, you're looking at it wrong, JP.
Okay.
You're looking at it totally wrong. Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, and Ioannidis will make Jamin Davis look better.
That's what I'm saying.
So what I'm saying is Ray Lewis wasn't Ray Lewis without big people in front of him. And they have to be – the way you become better in a run is that defensive tackle can keep two people and keep the guys from coming into your chest. Because these linebackers are smaller than these offensive linemen. If that offensive lineman come off that ball and he could get into his chest, he gonna swallow him up like he's nothing. So they have to do a better job of keeping people off the line. I remember last year when they knocked the linebackers. But you know what? The D-tackles weren't doing their job up front consistently. And, yes, the linebackers did take some bad angles and things of that nature. But ultimately, when a guy comes off, bang, knock you over, and the other guy blocks you, and then a knocker come off and get right in that chest of the linebacker, that's not all the linebacker's fault.
I agree. I just think if you have, hopefully, if things work out, a really good player on that second level, it's going to really help that rush defense.
I got you.
And perhaps that goes, let's say the pass defense stays really strong, and perhaps that rush defense gets into the top 10. I think that's when things could really start to build momentum defensively.
I pray it does, and that's what I want to see. That's what I'm saying. You can do both. I've seen it happen often.
But the one thing else, I think the pass defense could be better. I like Bobby McCain a lot. I think William Jackson could be an all-pro. I really am excited about what they can do as a pass defense. But sometimes I wonder with some of these statistics that they were second in pass yards allowed in the league. Week 17, the Eagles combined for 98 pass yards. Now, maybe a lot of that was how good the Washington defense was, but I think a lot of that was Jalen Hurts and Nate Sudfeld.
Was awful throwing the ball. Okay? And listen, stats are what they are, but you know what? When you start digging into it like you do in your job, I do in my job, you find out that DiNucci is not some of the quarterbacks they're going to see this year. You find out that Hurts may not be some of the guys that they may be seeing facing this year. Hell, you may not be facing Hurts. You may be facing the other guy.
B, how about this? What do you think constitutes a good outing for a quarterback yards-wise?
In this day and age?
In a single game.
It's depending on – well, right now, we would suspect that it's 300 yards because everybody seems to do it. But I think a 250-yard game, two touchdowns, maybe three, no interceptions, that type of game is legit if you have a running game to support it. But most people throw the ball so much. So if you throw the ball 25 times, I'm expecting you to have somewhere around a 240 to 250, 275 yards game. You're throwing it 35, 40 times, then I need to see 300 yards or more.
Well, if I may, just as we talk about how excited we are from some of these numbers last year, in two games against the Dallas Cowboys last season, combined, Dallas Cowboys quarterbacks threw in two games for 246 yards.
Mm-hmm.
That's awful.
Yep.
And I don't know that you can count on facing Andy Dalton and Ben DiNucci.
But the guy that's pro Washington is going to say, well, we the reason. But the guy that understands football is say that both of those quarterbacks stink.
But I also think there's the reality, like most things in life, is probably somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, but it's not all on one side or the other. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that's the whole thing where, you know, people want to be educated and taught. But when you're not saying what they want to hear, they get mad and act as if you don't know what you're talking about. When ultimately, later on, they come back. When they start getting mad, then they go, man, see, I like you because you keep it real. Well, you didn't like me when I was keeping it real and you were gung-ho. So
you ready for a couple more stats that are just mind-boggling?
Bring it.
The Washington football team lost to the New York Giants in week 6 in New York. How many passing yards do you think Daniel Jones had in that game?
Probably 120 or less.
108. They lost a game where the opposing quarterback had 108 yards passing. And the opposing team only had 240 yards of total offense.
Mm-hmm. Not the defense's fault, but what did the offense do?
The worst part is the offense moved the ball. They had 340 yards. If you remember, they just had turnovers. Kyle Allen had a couple turnovers.
And they gave it to him in the wrong part of the field, too, though.
And they went for two late in that game.
Well, see, this is the thing that I want people to understand. When you start looking at these defenses that are historically great, the ones that we talk about when we always mention 2000 Bears, I mean 95 Bears, 85 Bears, the 2000 Ravens, you know, go back to the Purple People Eaters, you go to 91 Washington. When you hear those teams, they've had teams that turn – their team would turn the ball over sometimes in their on their side of the field at the 30-yard line. And you know what the other team walked off with? Zero. Or they kicked the field goal and they didn't – or they got 3 points. But normally when our team turned the ball over, those other teams got touchdowns. And like I said, in that game when Dwayne had those – I said, listen, just because the ball is turned over don't mean that the defense have to give up a touchdown. So there are places where they can improve still. So I don't see them where they can be. Like, a lot of people see them already. Oh, they're great. No, they're very good with the potential to go higher. But they have to be able to, when there's a mistake by that offense, if you are the side of the ball that carries your team, you go out there and you erase that damn mistake for them. Don't give up a touchdown. And normally, early in the season, when we had a turnover, we gave up touchdowns.
They did improve in that. I remember, I think it might have been the Giants game and then the Cowboys game. They started to kind of get some stops as the season, you know, you remember that? Like, I'm trying to think what game it was. They had a really good goal line stand. They were able to stop, get a stop, and hold a team to a field goal instead of.
And it's that thing about it. They did that. And that I remember as the goal line stand, I can't remember the exact team, where they stood up, which was something that came back to the end. And you say, that defensive stance right there, that goal line stand, is the reason they won that game. But they can't be so few and far in between. Those type of stops, whether it's at the goal line, in the middle of the field, when it's a situation, that's when you start carving your name out into those historical defenses. They have all the talent and the names at the positions that they need them to do it. Now they got to do it consistently.
It's going to be interesting because the tests this year are much more severe than they were last year. It's not Ben DiNucci. It's Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers is playing for Green Bay now. He's in Lambeau. He's ready to rock.
Mm-hmm. 5 years, $47.5 million for Alex.
I think that's a pretty good deal for Washington, and sounds like you got to figure he's going after Gretzky's record if he's signing another five-year deal.
Hey, let's go. Let's go, Ovi.
What's he at now?
His first deal was what, 13 years, 100 and something million?
Yeah, it was a big one.
Yeah.
I wonder, how many goals is he at now? Because Gretzky, I think, is 894, and Ovi's at 730. Is that right? Yeah, so Ovi is currently 164 goals behind Gretzky.
5 years.
That's worst, is the COVID year. I mean, he was almost there. I mean, he was very, very close. And, I mean, what was it? They stopped the season so he didn't get a 10th straight 50-goal season?
Mm.
Do you remember that?
Mm.
So our friend Logan Paulson is here somewhere. I'm going to try to track him down and see if I can't get him to join us real quick. When we come back, we're either going to talk about Ron Rivera or we're going to talk to Logan Paulson. Stay tuned to find out.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And we have a special guest joining us, the Lumberjack himself, Mr. When's the last time you heard that nickname?
It's been a while. It's been a while for sure.
You're looking lumberjackish. You look hot.
I'm very warm. That is true. It's hot out here.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. Logan Paulson is here. We were just talking about
Logan Thomas on the mind.
We were just talking about Logan Thomas.
He just skipping past you because he's talking about the other guy with all that damn money he got today.
Yeah. Well, hey, I wish I was him. I'll tell you that.
We were just talking about it in the break, though. What do you think of the deal for Logan Thomas and kind of the team's ability to identify him, work on developing him, and now pay him?
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that I think I've talked to B-Mitch about a little bit before that I always liked. You know, he was kind of on this really nice ascension from, like, the day he made the transition from quarterback to tight end. So I think it was just kind of a matter of time and getting him in the right spot. And I think the Washington football team did a good job of identifying a situation and putting him in a situation where he could be successful. So I think that is good by the Washington football team. That's good by Logan Thomas. And now I think it's awesome to see that he's been rewarded for his efforts and his improvements because, like, he's a guy that's been on, like, one-year deals for a long time, kind of league minimum guy. And so now it's awesome for him and his family that he's making a little bit of money. And that's great.
I think everybody out there, if you want to learn about football, you follow Logan on Instagram because he breaks down plays tremendously. But, Logan, talk a little bit about the importance of the tight end position in the game of football today, because we find out now, we talk about receivers all we want, but some teams, their tight ends are as sexy as anybody else out there catching the football.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think one of the things about the tight end position today is it's become a true weapon. I think you walk back to the times of Jeremy Shockey, like kind of the first tight end that was viewed as a pass-catching weapon down the seam, and then like the Cooleys and all the guys that came after that, the Jimmy Grahams, that everyone knows kind of the lineage of the position. And now you get guys who are mismatches, right? They affect the way the defenses, the personnel the defense puts on the field, right? So no longer can you match in nickel versus three tight ends or three wide receivers and a tight end. Now you have to match in dime because you have such a good receiving threat at the position. If you match in dime, you're open to running attacks, and I think that's why the position is so critical, having a guy who can really stress defenses, stress the seam, be a mismatch against linebackers. And I think they've identified, you know, maybe not a top-tier guy, but definitely a top-10 guy at the position in Logan Thomas.
B-Mitch and I go back and forth a lot about the success Logan had last year, and he was really good.
Yep.
But he also was on a team that didn't have many pass catchers that the quarterbacks yep. trusted. He ended the season with 110 targets. J.D. McKissic ended the season with 110 targets. I think for both those guys, those totals are probably a little too high.
Yep.
What do you think for 2021, a more balanced offense, maybe certainly a quarterback that's willing to look downfield more. You obviously have Terry, who had 130-plus targets last
yep.
season. But now you got Curtis Samuel. You got Adam Humphries. You got De'Ami Brown, Logan, Gibson,
yep.
McKissic. What do you think like a proper allocation starts to look like?
So I think a proper allocation is simply this, right? You get the ball in the hands of the playmakers. And playmakers in the NFL today are guys that can make plays in space. You know, it hasn't always been that way, but definitely in the last 5 years, those are the guys that are making money. So in terms of that hierarchy that you just listed, you talk about Samuels, McLaurin, Gibson. I think Gibson moves up that chart, right? It was, you know, McLaurin, Logan Thomas pretty much, McKissic. Now I think Gibson moves that up. I think that kind of cannibalizes some targets off of Logan Thomas. I think De'Ami Brown's going to take a bigger role. Curtis Samuels deserves to get a certain number of targets a game and be featured in the offense in a very specific way because of his explosive characteristics. And I think those things are going to kind of hurt Logan Thomas. But I don't think his production numbers-wise will go down and should go down. But I think the amount of big plays he'll make, yards per catch, touchdowns, mm-hmm. first downs. I think those numbers will go up. I think the total number of receptions come down, but I think his impact on the receptions he does have will be greater because the ball, the offense is now a healthy offense. It's not kind of this dink and dunk check down offense that's surviving, you know, on second and sixes all the time. Like it's an offense now that can make big plays down the field.
Totally agree with you there. And I'm curious, other side of the ball, obviously, but Jonathan Allen got paid.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you and I were just kind of talking about it in the break. People get caught up at 4 years for $72 million.
Right.
But when you start diving into the numbers, it kind of is a three-year, $50 million deal
right.
in a lot of ways. Regardless of the cash, is paying John and getting him locked up the right move for the organization?
You know, I always go back and forth about who you pay because it really hampers you from a cash flow standpoint, right? Like, John is a good player. You know, he had a great year last year, was probably a top five guy at the position, and that's saying a lot considering it's a very defensive line heavy NFL right now. But I do think like that really hampers who you can pay money to, right? It hampers how you pay the offensive line, you pay your receivers. Other guys are going to come up that you're going to need to pay, and is John Allen worth two people? And oftentimes the answer is no. Now, I think he's a fantastic player. I'm glad that he got paid. But anytime you pay somebody a lot of money, like, you want to see immediate impact. And I think he's a good player. I don't know if he's a great player. So that's kind of my thoughts on it. I think it's a good deal for the team because, like you said, it's not this $75 million. It's probably going to end up being like $50. So I think it's smart. I think that they handled it the right way. But I think you got to be careful about who you pay money to long term.
Yeah, and I kind of think the same way you think, but I think ultimately we will find out, and I think if they have plans to make sure, because they know it's going to be somebody on that D-line, because I know this area, we are stuck on our D-line. One, maybe two people that you love won't be signed back to this football team.
True, yeah.
Well, and kind of the conversation becomes Allen or Payne.
Right.
In knowing that Payne's a little more versatile, Allen's a little bit better pass rusher, would you have had maybe a different decision there?
It's so interesting. I was talking with someone in the building that I've got a ton of respect for, and they were kind of in the Payne camp. You know what I mean? Like, Payne is the guy that's going to be – he's the better athlete. He's got more upside. Like, they shouldn't pay Allen, and they should wait to pay Payne. And now, because you've paid Allen, you can't pay Payne. You've kind of made the decision you can't pay him. So I think it's interesting that even within the building, there's some kind of division about who's the better
decision.
Player long term. Yeah. Yeah, right.
Well, and – I mean, it makes sense because they're both really good players.
Right.
I mean, there's not a lot of organizations that draft the same position in the first round year after year.
Right.
It's remarkable with this team. We celebrate their salary cap structure, but a lot of it is they haven't had to re-sign any of their first-rounders because they've been bad or flamed out or whatever happened. And that's, in some ways, that's how you get your cap space.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Like, they've been bad. They haven't had to deal with, like, kind of bringing back good players. And if you look at teams that have been really successful, they handle that transition really, really well, right? And oftentimes it's characterized by a quarterback. You're not paying these other positions because you have to pay a quarterback. And the Washington football team now is in this really interesting situation. They're kind of banking on a rookie quarterback to keep the salary cap nice and free. And, again, like, where do they get that guy? If they have another run in the playoffs, which I would expect that they would this year, like, do they find that guy next year, or are they going to have to pay a guy in free agency, which hampers them even more? Then this deal with Allen looks a little bit less appealing, right? Because so much capital is going to be tied up in these two offensive in these two players.
Mm-hmm.
And the quarterback decision. Listen, there is an avenue towards Ryan Fitzpatrick having this late career resurgence and being the guy next year. I won't discount that, but I wouldn't wager heavily on it either.
Right.
There is an avenue towards Taylor Heinicke emerging as an actual franchise quarterback. That could happen. I won't rule it out, but it's a longer shot. Odds are they're going to be looking for a quarterback early next offseason. And in no way are we looking ahead from the year ahead of us here, but from a roster construction standpoint, it looks like they're trying to build the best team. And then once they find, identify, and can land that QB, they're going to go after him.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. You know, I think I was talking to Grant Paulson. He said he had an interview with Ron Rivera, and he said Ron said they're abiding by the Bills model, right? But if you look at the Bills model, they got the quarterback first and then built the roster.
And he's from the draft, which is a lot cheaper.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's a great point, B. Mitch. Like, it's through the draft. They found a guy, didn't have to pay him a ton of money. He's on his rookie deal. They can pay all these other positions. But now you're kind of handcuffing yourself. The more guys you extend at this point in the season, the harder it is to find a quarterback not in the draft. You know what I mean? Because you're going to price yourself out on all of it. So, yeah, you mentioned the Ryan Fitzpatrick thing. I expect him to have a good year. I don't think he's the answer long term. I'm not sold on Heinicke after one game either. You know, obviously, like, I hope he does. I hope he proves me wrong. But I think they're going to really need to evaluate the quarterbacks in next year's draft. And then I could see them kind of having to mortgage draft capital to get their guy, because they've kind of put all their eggs in this draft a quarterback basket because of these the money they've invested already this year.
It is, in a way, like, you have to celebrate building the best team you can, right? Because the answer at quarterback wasn't available. They couldn't outpay what the Rams were willing to pay for Stafford.
Right.
And I'm not sure that any of the other veterans were the right move. But you look at Mac Jones goes 15th, Justin Fields goes 11th. Either of those guys you think going to be something that Washington in a few years might regret?
So I think that's an interesting question, because with quarterbacks, it's extremely hard to have a consistent evaluation. So when you watch Field, for example, I did it on my Instagram page. Like, he's a guy, he's got great arm talent, great athleticism, moves well. Not really like NFL ready in terms of making decisions and reading defenses. You know, he's in an Ohio State system that is really insulates the quarterback. I think a lot of the Washington football team fans saw how it insulated Dwayne was when he came to the team, right? And so I'm not trying to make a one-to-one comparison there, but I do think he has some deficiencies there, which in the past have been really detrimental. But now the league is moving towards these, like, really toolsy, big-arm, fast quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes being the perfect example, who don't operate in the perfect structure of the play, right? So, but I, as an evaluator, I didn't love him enough to say, oh, we need to give up two firsts to go get him. Even Jones, for example, I think he's kind of the opposite. Does everything on schedule, everything on time, reads defenses really well. But he has no athletic traits that help offset.
He's very much like J.P. Finley.
Do you know that Mac Jones and I look alike with our shirts off?
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. I mean, you got your shirt on now, but maybe we should do like a body comp comparison.
Oh, believe me, J.P. body might be a little better than Mac Jones.
B. Mitch, you're flattering me. I'm blushing here. You mentioned
Grant. I said it might be.
You mentioned Grant talking with Ron Rivera. Grant and Danny have Ron Rivera joining the show at 5 p.m.
Oh,
make
nice.
Sure you listen to that interview. We're going to talk to Ron in about 2 hours here, the whole press corps assembled down here in Richmond. And, Logan, tell everybody where to find your Instagram.
Well, yeah, my Instagram is Logan_Paulson82. And I just do, like, breakdowns in the
season. Great.
In the season, I do stuff with 106.7 The Fan, and I'll do game breakdowns and play breakdowns. So that's kind of where you can find me.
Well, you also
and
agreed,
he does damn good breakdowns, believe me.
He also agreed to a weekly appearance with the B. Mitchell
Finley
program.
Yeah.
I just wanted to clear
which
that up.
Which I'm pretty stoked about.
But so in about 2 hours, I'm going to talk to Ron Rivera.
Yeah.
What question would you ask the head coach?
Well, I think they've done some interesting stuff this offseason, right? And if I had a Ron – and the thing about Ron, this is my perspective, Ron. Ron will say anything to the media. It just comes out like verbal diarrhea, and it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't hold any standing. So, like, I would feel reluctant to ask him anything meaningful because I don't think I'm going to get the truth. But if I was going to get a truthful answer, one of the things I would talk to him about is the defensive line specifically. Like, can they get them to play the correct technique on the defensive front? This is a penetrating defensive front. If you look at Allen, you look at Ioannidis, you look at Payne from last year, they were playing like a gap read, two-gapping read like they were when they were playing a 34, and it really, really hurt the team in terms of stopping the run.
Do you not think it got better late in the year, though?
So if you look at the Tampa Bay game, which is, I don't know if you get any later than that, it was not very good.
Brian brings that up with some regularity.
Logan, I'm serious. The why you're talking right now, I'm smiling because everything you're saying, I've said.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
And so, like, obviously, B. Mitch, you see the game at a very high level. And so that's something that, to me, sticks out consistently is, like, can they get them to buy into this technique? Can they buy into this eight-man front and play faster football? Like, and I don't understand, as a defensive lineman, that scheme allows you to make plays.
Yeah.
It allows you to get TFLs. It allows you to get sacks. It simplifies your vision. Like, why not do it? And they've had a really hard time getting that done. The other thing that I'm watching super acutely is I'd want to talk to him about Sam Cosmi and, like, what he sees him doing, his role with the team, how that whole line's going to shake out, because I think they're banking on a young guy with a ton of potential who hasn't really shown he can do in the NFL. And so what do you
have? Can you sit through a commercial and then we'll get your scouting report
sure.
on Cosmi
yeah,
when
yeah,
we come
absolutely.
Back?
Yeah,
because I really want to hear that, because let's be honest, as much as Cornelius Lucas might be able to start at right tackle,
right.
they want that to be Cosmi.
Right. Yeah.
You don't release Morgan Moses unless you think Cosmi can be your guy.
Right. Yep.
All right, we are going to talk Sam Cosmi. Is he the future right tackle for the Washington football team, and how soon is the future? Is the future now? when we return. Real quick, however, I need to tell you about my guy, Paul Henry. Paul Henry's window installation, family-owned, family-operated. They worked on Brian's house. They worked on my house. They'll do your windows. They'll do your doors, and they're just good people. I call Paul. I text Paul. He gets right back to me. You can count on them, and you can trust them. Give him a call today, 540-402-9428, 540-402-9428, or check him out online, paulhenryswindows.com. You're clear. Home installation choice.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
B. Mitch and Finley, first day of Washington football team training camp, and it's a scorcher. We've earned it today sitting in this tent with no air conditioning.
Is there going to be air conditioning by the time I get there?
I don't think so, B.
Well, I would be bringing a fan with me.
I mean, listen.
If I walk in there with two, like, box fans, would they say I can't bring them in?
No, dude. One, you're Brian Mitchell. Two, yeah, we have fans. You're allowed to bring fans. I think you should make a call to a certain Titch Mischler or Chris Kerwin. There's no way to say Kerwin's name backwards, I guess. Maybe those dudes can make it happen. Actually, Julie Donaldson's the one you need to call, B. Yeah, she's seriously. Got the AC.
Julie, can we do the thing in your tent?
People are working during the show. That's the interesting part of all this. So we have Logan Paulson here with us, former Washington football team tight end. Does a great job breaking down players and scouting reports and game film on his Instagram, which you can find at
Logan underscore Paulson 82.
So here's what we're going to do. One bonus segment with Logan talking about Washington football team rookie tackle Sam Cosmi from the University of Texas. Listen, they're going to talk around it, but they want him to be the starter. Is he ready to be the starter, Logan?
So everyone asks me, like, what am I most interested to see? And that is probably the thing I'm most interested to see. Because, like, if you watch this tape from 2000, the last season, I always get these years mixed up. Last season, it was okay, right? You kind of say he's good. You see flashes of athleticism, but he gets in trouble, like leaning on people, poor hand placement, and you kind of go, And then, but I talked to my buddy, and he's the offensive line coach for the Chargers, and he goes, "You should watch him again. He's my favorite offensive lineman in the draft." So I said, "Well, I better go back and watch the year before." So went back and watched the year before, and it was almost like a different person. Like, he looked like a top five draft pick against Florida State. Florida State. And you kind of go to yourself, like, holy cow. Like, if he is this guy, super athletic, understands angles, leverages, understands how to uncoil his hips, got a nasty demeanor in the run game, and as a pass protector, clamping people with his hands, say, wow, that's going to be special. That could be the next and I don't say this lightly because Trent was the best offensive lineman I played with, but you get kind of that generational ability of Trent Williams, a guy who's going to be your left tackle, your right tackle for 15 years, you know? And so – or because of some technical deficiency has, like one thing that sticks out is he kind of sinks his hands on pass pro and gives up his chest. Against NFL defensive linemen, because of the arm length that they have, you can't do that. You can't get away with that kind of technical deficiency. So I want to see how he does against Montez. I want to see how he does against Chase, because those guys will exploit that weakness. And if he does not get it corrected, he's going to have to play guard in the NFL. And everyone looks at, like, Brandon Scherff, right, for example. When he was in training camp as a rookie here, like, he struggled in one-on-ones a little bit because of his arm length, right? Ryan Kerrigan would hit him with a bull every time. He couldn't stop the bull because he didn't have enough length to stop it. And so Cosmi has 32-inch arms, not the longest arms in the world, a little bit technical.
He has B. Mitch arms. Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, wow, B. Mitch, you got 32-inch arms?
It's like a praying mantis.
Yeah, seriously. So that's something that – because, you like you said, they basically mortgaged the whole thing on him starting. You know what I mean? I think Lucas, I've talked to a whole bunch of defensive linemen, they think he's an awesome pass protector. But I personally, if I'm GM Logan Paulson, I think he's better as your swing guy, and then you'd have – Cosmi starting. But can he do it? Can he do it at any point this year? And they've kind of structured it, like you mentioned, to make that happen. And That's what I am so interested to see.
Well, and I think – go ahead, B.
Say, look, and you understand the consistency, and you talk about how in 1 year he was exceptional in that game against Florida State, but then the next year you're like, oh, I don't know. You know, how does he get to that point to where he's going to have to be consistent? Let's say he's facing Aaron Donald. Hell, if he got those deficiencies, he's in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I think it was, I went back and really studied it because, like you, B. Mitch, I'm like, I love this kid from 2019 or whatever year it was, you know, against LSU looking dominant, you know, all these like really looked awesome almost in every single game, and then kind of transitioning to the next season not looking as good. They did have a switch in offensive coordinator. You could tell they changed their run game philosophy. They kind of, I don't know if the listeners don't understand this, but they went to like a very lateral kind of run game, pushing their targets to players outside the box. So everything got stretched out and kind of muddy, and he couldn't be as aggressive. And I think that was a big factor in kind of the dip in play, is just kind of learning a new system in COVID, a bridge college season. And I'm hoping that that's what it is. I'm hoping the real Sam Cosmi is the guy from the year before, and the Washington football team is a guy who's going to be here for 15 years, making people look nasty in the ground, physical play style.
Assuming he does win the starting right tackle job out of camp, won't he be facing Joey Bosa week one?
And that's a hell of a way to start the season, right? Like, because I don't know if you guys have watched Joey Bosa, but that guy is one of the most savage pass rushers.
Disruptive.
In the NFL. He's disruptive. He understands leverage. Yeah, he leverages. He's technically sound. He's strong. Sinks his hips. Thank God he's coming off an ACL tear, so he might be a little rusty. But you know, hey. That's going to be a tough Joey Bosa, yes.
They get Joey, right? Yeah. He's healthy.
Yeah, Joey's healthy. I was thinking about the other one.
Oh, boy. Yeah, but you know what? Those guys, they just have that motor. So they probably come back as strong as they were before they got hurt.
Absolutely.
Logan, thank you so much for sitting down with us, dude. You're out of here?
Yeah, I'm out of here.
Okay.
Appreciate you, Logan.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Tell everybody one more time where the Instagram is.
Logan_Paulson82. Thanks, guys, for having me on. Really appreciate it.
All right, that's Logan Paulson. Thank you to Pete Haley, Mitch Tischler, Mike Phillips, and Mike Gennetti for joining us earlier in the program. Thank you to everybody that listened.
So we'll just do two tomorrow.
Yeah, we didn't get to her to here first.
Yeah, we didn't get to the Red Wolves either.
Oh, yep. We got B-Mitch, we have made it through the summer sleep session. We are content for days
woke,
now,
baby.
Buddy.
We are WOKE. We're woke.
We are ready to rock now. Thank you to Mr. Mullins and Mr. Betts back in the studio. B-Mitch, I look forward to seeing you mañana. Thank you to everybody. Listen, Grant and Danny have Ron Rivera coming up at 5 p.m.
Tell Pete I say Pappy.
Pete, B-Mitch says Pappy. If you made it this far, Pete owes you a cocktail.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.